You should find an outline in your bulletin. It should say the perfect father at the top. Several passages from the Gospel of Matthew. We're just going to go through. The perfect father. Let's ask God to help us as we study his word together. God, Father, we bow before you and we open our hands before you because we expect to receive things from you. We expect to receive wisdom and knowledge and grace and provision and mercy and forgiveness. We certainly not because we've earned these things, but because you freely give them to us. Just speak to us today through your word. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our church as a whole. May we receive from you the things that your word will bless our lives with on this day. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. It's always difficult for me, like, to think of Father's Day being a father, you know. And I often think that, you know, you go to grave sites so often, and you go to the cemetery and you walk around, and you don't often see the person's occupation on the tombstone. But what you see more often than not, if you take time to notice it, is you see mother, or you see father, and the person's name. You know, and really, there's a huge, I think, pressure in our day, like, to be defined by your occupation, and to let that define who you are, and to, I don't know, I just feel like that's most often, like, what people ask, like, what do you do for a living, and what do you do at your job, and... But it's interesting to me that nobody really asks, you know, the question, like, who are you? in terms of, like, okay, you know, I work at a machine shop and at a church, but who I am, isn't that even more important than what I would do with my hands? And I think who I am is what I want to try and focus on, or not who I am, but who the perfect father is. Because, you know, the title of father, I don't think there's a more difficult thing to try and live out. Or I could say the title of mother also, but, you know, the title of husband even, or the title of wife. Why? Because there's relationships involved. That there's just difficulty there. And it's, I don't think anyone can say, you know, I've kind of mastered this art of being a father, or being a husband, or being a wife, or being a child for that matter, or being a father or mother. It's, you just never get there. You never get to the point where you're, I'm really thrilled with how I'm doing as a father. At least I never do. I tend to always just see how I could do better, and how I'm falling short of the standard, because there's so much responsibility, that there's so much that falls under that category. But as I thought about these things, just in the Gospels alone, 168 times Jesus would use the word father to speak of God. And I thought, wow, you know, that's, it's a little interesting, because the Old Testament doesn't really, the most common word for God in the Old Testament is Yahweh, the Lord. Oh, you'll see it, the Lord, in all capital letters in your Bible, and that's Yahweh. That's the most popular way that God refers to Himself in the Old Testament. And Jesus comes along as the Son and says, it says about God, He's a Father. And He says it again and again and again. And I want us to see that. This is just from Matthew, and this is not all the verses in Matthew, but the first one doesn't actually say Father, but this is from Matthew chapter 13. Chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Why do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And it's interesting to me, as another pastor pointed out, we don't know that Jesus had yet performed any miracles. In fact, we can probably say he may not have up to this point in his life. All the miracles we find are after this point. When Jesus walked on the water, when Jesus raised dead people to life, when Jesus gave sight to people who could not see, when Jesus healed people of leprosy, when he fed the 5,000, when he went to the cross to die for the sins of mankind. All this statement of God the Father happened before he did any of those things. And essentially what we see here is already before Jesus did any of those great things that we know about, the Father's blessing was upon the Son. And the statistics are just out of sight right now. And the generation behind my generation, which I'm like at the end of Generation X, they're known really as the fatherless generation by some. And you think of the chaos that sometimes describes those people, but it's just the facts are just outstanding, that when the father is absent, or when the father is abusive, when the father is not a good father, the children just suffer tremendously. And when the child doesn't have the father's blessing, he may look for that blessing in other places. He may look for that acceptance in other places. He may look for a place where they say, he or she, actually, that someone is pleased with me. They may look for a place where someone loves me. Because I can't find it in my own father. So they go out searching for that somewhere, and they may find it somewhere else, but those places are not good. Those are not the places you want to find it. And I think this is so important, that Jesus already knew two things. He knew my Father loves me. My Father is pleased with the life I'm living. And, you know, what an encouragement for him to go on now to his ministry. Not that he didn't already know it, but this is just an affirmation from God the Father that I love this son of mine. I'm pleased with him. And from here on, we'll go through a little bit. These are all found in the Lord's the Sermon on the Mount. So we can go on from there, and we can see that Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. And so they put it on its stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that men may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And it's shocking to me a lot of times that how can this happen? Like, how can someone see my good deeds and then praise God? but that's what he said. You know, if you let your light shine out in the dark world, this will happen. That people will see the good things you do, and they'll give praise to a perfect Father who's in heaven, and he's worthy of praise. He's a perfect Father. He's loving. He's kind. He's worthy of praise. And I pray that would happen as we go out into this world, that we would let our light shine. And people would praise God because of it. The perfect Father. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, you've heard it said, "Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? If you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Father is commanding that we love not only those who love us. That's pretty easy. He takes it a step further. He goes the extra mile and says, you know, I want you to even love your enemies. Those who persecute you, you should pray for them, because then you're going to be sons of your Father. In other words, you're going to be acting like your Father, your perfect Father who's in heaven. And that's the weight of that is, you know, be perfect. But we can't achieve the standard. But even though we can't achieve the standard, we're still told, be perfect, because your heavenly Father is perfect. So as children, we're looking up to our perfect Father, and we're saying, you know, we want to try, as Dan said, to imitate that Father who's perfect. And again, I said, you never arrive until you get to heaven and He finishes the work there, but you know, it's you never arrive at the point. There's always work to be done. So we keep on working, and we keep on working. I'm probably not going to read all of these, but Matthew chapter 6, essentially, don't do your acts of righteousness before men, you know. Don't do it in such a way as you blow a trumpet and say, you know, hey, look what I'm doing. I'm giving to the needy. I'm being generous. But you don't let your right hand, you don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You give essentially anonymously. And the reason you can do it is because your Father sees what's done in secret. And He gives the reward. And then the same principle is related here to prayer. When you pray, you know, you don't have to make it really public. You don't have to make a big show of it. But you go to your Father. And He hears. He's unseen, but He hears. And He knows what you need. Before you even ask Him, He already knows. But He wants to hear it from you. He wants to hear your voice say, you know, I'm dependent upon you for what I need. And of course, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is holy. Your name is set apart. It's great. It's above all the other names. That's why we go to you in prayer. You're in heaven. You're providing our needs. You're forgiving our sins. You're delivering us from the evil one. As we forgive those who sin against us, all these things are from the Father. And again, we're not worthy. You know, we haven't earned these things, but His grace is just freely giving these things to those who ask. To those who come to Him through Christ. To those who believe in the Son. Matthew 6:16 talks about when you fast, don't look, don't make it known again. Don't put on a show. Because your Father sees what's done in secret. He sees everything. You can't hide anything from God. You can maybe try and fool those around you. You can maybe put on a show for those around you, and they might be impressed. But God Himself sees everything. He sees you in public and in private. He sees you at work and at home. He sees you at church and in the world. He already knows. You can't put on a show to Him. You can't put on a mask. You can't fake it. He just sees right into your heart. In Matthew 6, it's a good word for us about worry. Who of us doesn't struggle with this? This idea of there just may not be enough. You know, do I really trust God to meet my needs? Because my needs at this particular time seem very great. So there's a lot of trust required on my part. There doesn't seem to be enough to go around. So is He really going to provide for those needs? So we worry and we say, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know about the economy. I don't know who the next president's going to be. I don't know if my job is going to be stable. I don't know if the Social Security check is going to come. I don't know. But the advice of Jesus is just, hey, take a look at the birds. Take a look at the flowers. Who feeds the birds on a daily basis? Who dresses the flowers up? And they're so beautiful. And the words, you of little faith. The world runs after these things. But again, this idea, the Father knows our needs. The Father provides our needs. The Father eases our worries. Because who wouldn't raise their hand and say, I have way more than I need. Just abundantly more than I actually need. So I can truly say, I have an abundance. Why should I worry? In Matthew chapter 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. He who knocks, the door will be opened. A perfect Father, He responds to what you ask for. He sees you seeking. And especially if we're seeking after Him, we will find Him. He actually comes to the door when somebody knocks. It's not like, I know somebody's in there, but no one's coming to the door. The lights are on, but nobody's home. I don't believe it. It's, why is this? He comes to the door. He responds to those who ask. And He gives good gifts. This is so important. We even know how to do this as earthly fathers. And if our son asks for bread, we don't give a stone. If someone asks for a fish, we don't give a snake. But He gives good gifts to His children. Because even we know how to do that. How much more does the Father know how to do that? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. The golden rule. This sums up, the law and the prophets are summed up by this. How would I want to be treated? My job really is to treat others that way. It makes it easy to serve everyone around me. I think I know how they would want to be treated, so I go ahead and treat them the same way. You know, I think of my dad, and I think of the gift he was and is to me. I remember a lot of things about growing up, and he would always give me good gifts. And he would always, one time when he came home from work, and it was around my birthday, and he had a dirt bike in there, which is essentially a motorcycle for the dirt, okay, if you don't know what that is. But it was like the most wonderful thing I ever got. And I would ride that thing until it broke down. And then I'd try to fix it. And then I'd ride it some more, you know, and we would just have a ball. And those around the neighborhood had dirt bikes too, so I would ride with some of my neighbors. And it's just wonderful. You know, it was the funnest thing that I ever got. I had a go-kart already, but it was even better. But that's good. I think about my dad, and I think about that day that he got me that dirt bike. But I also think about the times he would take me to the men's retreat. And I was a young man at the time, and he would take me to the men's retreat. And I would get to hang out with all these other Christian men. And we would do different things at the retreat, and we would hear somebody speak, and we would stay in the cabins. And I thought, you know, I look back at that and I say, how smart was that? You know, how wise was that? How good were those times that my dad took me to those things? You know, how much did I grow? How much did I see an example of Christian men in my own father, and in those that were his friends, and in those that went to our church? I think of us all going on vacation several times in the summer, and I think of going to Jones Beach and Long Island virtually every year, because that's where my mom grew up, in that area of Long Island, New York, and we'd go to Jones Beach. And we would spend days, and you couldn't get me out of the water. I just love to be in the water up there. Just getting crushed by the waves and just having a blast. But you know, not everyone is that fortunate. I have to understand, not everyone has a dad like that. I mean, it's God's providence that I had a father. I had the father that I had. It's His gift to me. It's one of His gifts. And But not everyone can say that, but everyone can, you know, we can say that, that there's a perfect Father in heaven. And whether you were happy with the Father you had or not, I don't know, but you can have a perfect Father. And he's available to everyone. He wants to be the Father of everyone. And essentially, yeah, he is. But those who receive him in faith, through Jesus Christ, that they really get the full benefits of a perfect Father. And that's what he's saying in chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then he will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So there's this idea that we do the will of the Father. We how can we know what the will of the Father is? We just have to look in the Word and we can see that this is my will to consider others better than yourselves, to love your enemies, to come before me in prayer and fasting. And it's not that we're earning our salvation. It's that we're responding to the salvation we've already received. He's given us this free gift of salvation, and our response to it is obedience. Our response to it is faith. And one from John, 1 John chapter 3 is the closing verse there, verses. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, we know, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. So the perfect Father in heaven has lavished love, His great love upon us. We know that. How? Because He's made us His children. And there's a day coming, we're not there yet, but there's a day coming when He's going to make everything perfect. There's a day coming that there's a future coming that's very bright. That there's a hope that we have that's really a living hope. It can't be extinguished or snuffed out. We have this privilege as fathers to be like our Heavenly Father, to lavish love upon our kids. I mean, how fun is that? How good is that? That we get to join in that. We get to share a part of what God does. He lavishes His love upon us. And in that way, He sets the example. And He says, do it not only as I say, do as I do. Go and lavish love upon the kids that I've given to you. And I think, man, that's such a heavy responsibility. And it is. And it's such a weighty thing to consider. But it's such a privilege and a blessing. It's like, wow, I get to do this. This is what God Himself has done for me. Now I get to pass it on to the kids. Why? To show, hey, look, this is what God does. And when they see us do it as the fathers and mothers, maybe they'll think to themselves like, wow, you know, I can see the love of God through my parents. And then what do they have a desire to do? To pass it on to their kids. So now all these generations now are loving the kids. Because the perfect father has lavished love upon them. And they have no other choice but to say, I've got to pass this love on. I got to lavish some kids with love. I'm just thankful on this day for a perfect Heavenly Father. I'm so undeserving, but I'm so grateful of His love.